Boker Tov, everyone, and welcome to the second day of the 14th cycle of the Daf Yomi, and we are holding on in Brachas Daf Gimel. And yesterday, just to remind you where we were up to, yesterday we had many, many different shitas of the time of the beginning of Kriyat Shema. We haven't gotten to the end of that time, but the beginning. So far we've had the shita, well actually we had two shitas, but we'll of Rebbe Eliezer, but we'll be talking about that later today. So in the Braita, we had Rebbe Eliezer, who said that it's from the time of Shkia, because he said, Misha Kidesh Hayom, from that very, very beginning of Shabbos. Rebbe Meir said, one of the Rebbe Meirs anyway, said that it's talking about even during the daytime, because it's from the time that the Kayanim are able to go and to be Tevel, which is right before Tzeta Kochavim, the way we came out yesterday. We have Rebbe Yoshua, which is when they're able to eat, which is Tzeta Kochavim itself, not the Tefillah. We have Rebbe Chanina, who says it has to do with the time that the Oni comes to have a little bit of bread and some salt, which doesn't require any kind of Hachana, which now we're understanding that that comes a little bit afterwards, is the way the Gemara came out. We have the other Rebbe Meir, which says it's from the time that people in general come in to eat on Erev Shabbos, which is not clear whether that's later or earlier. And in fact, there's even the sheet of the Ri in the opening Tosfos of the Masechet, who holds that people eat early on Erev Shabbos, even before Shkia. And they eat even Miba'od Yom. So that's like being Mekabel on early Shabbos, eating after the Plag HaMincha. And then we have Rav Achoy, or we had some call it Rav Acha, which has the time during the week, according to one shita, where people come in to eat, which is even later than an Ani, because they can afford the light, and they also have a more elaborate meal, which takes time. And that would be, according to this, would be the latest of all of those times. The Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechet points out, and Rashi started the ball rolling on this issue, of, according to all of this, how in the heck do we get away with davening Ma'ariv early, and then we go and we say Kriyat Shema during that Ma'ariv, and how are we Yotze, since it's before the time of the Tzeta Kochavim, and it's even before sometimes the time of Shkia in many Bate Knesiot. So how do we possibly get away with that? Now Rashi suggests that we don't get away with it, and that because of this, we read Kriyat Shema at night when we're going to sleep in order to be Yotze. Tosis points out that that makes no sense. First of all, nobody says, as a matter of course, the entire Kriyat Shema. Almost everybody just says Shema and the first parak of Kriyat Shema. You're not Yotze Kriyat Shema just with that. So that doesn't make sense. Furthermore, what happened to Birkot Kriyat Shema? Yeah, Yotze just with Kriyat Shema, you have to say the brachas, as we will get to, we already mentioned yesterday, you have to say the brachot before and after. How are we Yotze the brachot before and after if we're not really saying Shema? Bichlal, that doesn't make sense. Furthermore, the Gemara says, Beferish, that the only reason we say Kriyat Shema on our nighttime bed is because that way it saves us from Mazikim, which we'll be talking about later, and that a Talmud Chacham, who's always learning, doesn't need that. So how is it possible to say if that's the time that we're being Yotze Kriyat Shema, that it doesn't need it? So because of this, Tosfos argues, he says the Kriyat Shema, obviously, everybody is being Semech on being Yotze in the Beit HaKnesset, even though it's Mi'od Yom, and he relates this to the Gemara later on, which is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that Tzfilas HaMincha is only up to the Plag HaMincha, and from that time on, already as the time of Laila, we'll wait until we get there to discuss that, but this is a serious issue and clearly throws a monkey wrench into all of the simple ideas that we had before. So in any event, those were the sugyas that we had up until now. Now let's get to today's daf on Daf Gimel. So the Gemara asks, don't we have a problem over here in that Rebbe Meir contradicted himself? Because after all, first Rebbe Meir said it's talking about when people come in to eat on Leil Shabbos, and then it said when the Kohanim are Tevel, which is right before Shkia. Sir Kasha the Rebbe Meir, the Rebbe Meir, Inochinami, it is, Tretanai Liba the Rebbe Meir. And isn't it a Kasha of Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer? Rebbe Eliezer in the Mishnah says, Mizman, Shakoanim, Nichvasim Lechom, Mitrumatam. And over here he says, Mishikadash Hayom, which is Shkia. And that's way before Tzeta Kochavim, answers the Gemara the same thing. We could say it's Tretanai Aliba the Rebbe Eliezer. Or it's very possible we were misreading the intention of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said Divrei Rebbe Eliezer, it might have been referring only to the closing words, Ad Sof Hashmura Rishona Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. And that was the beginning of the time and not the end, and not the beginning of the time. So Reisha was Lav Rebbe Eliezer, that spoke about the beginning of the time, that was the Tanakama. Okay. Ad Sof Hashmura Rishona. What is an Hashmura? Now, as we mentioned yesterday, clearly there is a desire, because of the nature of the concept of a Kriyat Shema as being the expression of our stance of Emuna, which again means the way in which we see ourselves in the world. We need to be aware of our responses to the various times that we may not only be subconsciously aware of, but we need to understand that they make an impact on us. And today we're going to discover, the beginning of many, many sugyas that are coming, that these differences are not differences in us alone, but that the nature of Emunah defines the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us as well. It's not a one-sided thing. So it's a mutual relationship to the universe in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we interrelate. Therefore, it's essential to understand that the Ashmorot, which are the different Mishmoros, are both in the Shamayim, so to speak, and on earth, affect both of us, Kivayachol. We're going to find out later that because of this, we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as davening, which is strange. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as wearing tefillin, which is strange. But all of these inyanim that are nogea our Kriyat Shema, are nogea the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world, such that if we could say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz, and so on and so forth. Each verse has its verse equivalent from the opposite point of view. So what does Rebbe Eliezer hold? If Rebbe Eliezer holds there are three Mishmarot, so then say that we're talking about the time until 4 hours into the night, which is 12, always 12 hours, remember 12 hours Maniot, divided by 3, which is 4. And if he holds there are 4 Mishmarot, we'll see that this is a machloket. So then let him say Ad Shalosh Shavot, which is 12 divided by 4. Liyolam Kasar Shalosh Mishmarot Avilayla. And what he's trying to tell us by mentioning not the number of hours, but the number of Mishmarot, is precisely what we've been talking about all along. We are not interested in watches on our hands. We are interested in watches, Mishmarot, in the nature of reality. We are not interested in astronomical issues. We are interested in biological responsive issues. And that's what he's coming to teach us. That Ika Mishmarot Barakia, the Ika Mishmarot Ba'ara, and we can note them and the way we respond to them. Tanya Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Shalosh Mishmarot Havi Halayla. Now, in terms of these Mishmarot in the Shamayim, Alko Mishmaro Mishmar Yosheva Kadosh Baruch Hu Vishoei Ka'ari, Sheneemar Hashem Yimaron Yishag Numa'on Katsho Yitin Kolo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries and roars over each one of these Mishmarot. This begins a very profound relationship of the nature of Emuna in the sense of our having a job based on Emuna. We need to work on a world that has to express the way in which we understand it until humanity grows up. And if you think of it, of course, that's the meaning. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, as Rashi explains it, means that Hashem, who is currently only Elokeinu, is going to be Hashem Echad. And that, in essence, is what we are involved in doing, having humanity grow up and understand themselves. Therefore, the nature of the Churban HaBayit plays an extremely important role, not only in this daf, but throughout the entire parak, as we'll see, and starts here. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries and roars over every one of these Mishmarot. And this Shaog Yishag Al Naveu, or his Beis HaMikdash, V'simen L'davar, Where do we see, remember this word, Simin HaDavar? Simin HaDavar, Tzeit HaKochavim, we said yesterday. Simin HaDavar always means what is the way in which we respond to these things. You can detect these things. The Simin HaDavar is that the first Mishmar Rishona, donkeys are braying. The Mishmar Ashniya, dogs are howling. Tzoaki, not barking, but literally tzoaki. Shlishit tinok yonek mishteimo. The third mishmar, the children, infants are nursing, and isha misaperet im ba'ala, as people are starting to get up, they talk to each other in bed. Ma'ikach chashiv Reb Eliezer, wait, does this really make sense? Is he talking about the beginning of the mishmar? Then why would he need a mishmar rishona simon? I mean, the falling of night is the beginning of the first mishmar. If he's talking about the end of a mishmar, why would he need the end of the last mishmar? That's daybreak. I don't need a simon, yamamu. Must be, says the Gemara, he's talking about the end of the first mishmar, the middle of the middle mishmar, and the beginning of the mishmar achronem tzeitem tzaita. Or what you could say is, he's referring to the end of the Mishmar on all three cases. Now, your problem was, v'chitem achrona lo tzareh, I don't really need it, since I have an astronomical phenomenon, namely daybreak, and I can see that, which is also something that I note. But no, there are more intimate ways of noting things. What if you live inside of a dark house that has no windows? Would you still have a biological way of knowing that it's time for Kriyat Shema? Yes. The nafkamina would be l'mikri Kriyat Shema l'manda gani b'bayit afel. Again, if you are not aware of clocks, and the sun, of course, is a clock, v'lo yada zman Kriyat Shema emat. If you are in your house, you hear in the next bedroom a man and a woman talking to each other, kimadish misaperet im ba'ala, or you hear an infant that is crying, you're being suckled, v'tino gionek mishdeimo, it is time to get up and read Kriyat Shema. I mean, this is the most astonishing kind of thing. Obviously, these times are extremely loose. We are so used to the absurdity of looking at 9:08 and 36 seconds according to the Naval Observatory time at Greenwich and so on and so forth. I mean, it's absolutely nutty. The Gemara is making it very clear that that's the opposite of how to relate to Kriyat Shema, and it makes us even further disassociated and alienated from the essential meaning of the emuna expressed in Seder's right. Om Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Mishmei Derav Shosh Mishmarot Havi Laila Ve'al Kol Mishmar U'Mishmar Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Shoeg Karik. He roars like a lion and he says, Oy Lebanim, this is a terrible tragedy. Sheba Avonoteihem Echarafti Et Beiti, it's their fault, idiots, I had to destroy my own bayit. V'sarafti et heichali, I had to blow up my own intimate heichal in the Shemayim, because remember, Beis Hamikdash Shemalos B'chumin Kenegad Beis Hamikdash Shemata. V'iglitim levenu moto olam. Look at this mess. Tanya, Om Rabbi Yossi. Pa'am achat hayiti malach baderach v'nechadatzi l'chur v'achat b'chur v'ot Yerushalayim litpalel. Now we take the inyan of churban, churva, into the literal nature of a physical churva. I walked into one of the churvas of Yerushalayim. Ubo Elio zachur latov v'shamar li al ha-petach. Elio ha-navi. By the way, there's an amazing medrash, you know. The only other time that we say zachur latov is v'gam charvona zachur latov, right? But that's based on the chazal that charvona wasn't charvona. He was Elio. And Elio made himself look like charvona. So we say v'gam charvona. You know which charvona. Zachur Latov, that's Karvona. So referring to Elio HaNavi, which is really very cute, but it has to do with this as well. Again, this is a very profound issue. That's because Elio HaNavi accompanies us all the time, because he's not part of a particular local time. So that idea of Emuna and Elio HaNavi coming to announce Mashiach, which is ultimately the growing into the Malchus Shamayim, is all related to this Churva Achas B'Churvot Yerushalayim. And what he did is what he always does. He waits. Shamarli ala petach. Shamarli, he sat there and waited for me. But that waiting itself is even merames to a getter of absolute shmira. Liachash siyamti tvilati amarli shalom alecha Rebbe. So he called me Rebbe. I understood who he was right away. Amarti lo shalom alecha Rebbe umori. At that point, I accepted him as a Rebbe, and he treated me as a Rebbe. And instead of calling me Rebbe, he called me Bini. It's an amazing thing, but it needed the acceptance. You would, until then, he called me Rabbi. Bini, mipnei ma nichnas velo chur vezo. Amarti lo lehitpalel. Amar li, agalacha lehitpalel baderach. Why didn't you daven out on the road? Amarti lo mityayeri hayiti shami yafsiku biovrei drachim. Amar li, agalacha lehitpalel tefila ktsara. You should have said the tefila ktsara tzvach lokas. Your Rashi tells us exactly how we use the word tefila ktsara, whether it's havinenu, or whether it's the tefila ktsara of the tzorchei amcha merubim, or bekol parshat ha'ibur, which we'll talk about later. It seems to be that this is a specific case. We'll talk about it when we get to the din of havinenu. Anyway, bo tasha alamadati mimenu shlosha dvarim. Look, it's clear three things I learned. First of all, I understood I shouldn't have gone into that churva for some reason, because otherwise, why was he asking me? Why'd you go into the churva? Secondly, I understood that I was wrong in making the assumption that it's not proper to daven on the road. Because I thought the very fact that there might be people walking by means you can't have kavana, and therefore you can't daven there. And furthermore, I learned from him that although I was right in terms of not davening perhaps a full tefillah where I would have been interrupted, if you're going to be mitpalel baderech, you should be mitpalel eder a tefillah ktsara. Anyway, getting back to our conversation, so he turns to me and he says, Bini, ma kol shamata b'churva zo? So you see, a churva of churvot Yerushalayim is an expression of the nature of the churva in general. And therefore, we say that it's kilo bonecha b'churvot Yerushalayim. Or we say, b'toch avele tzion v'Yerushalayim. So I said to him, shamati bat kol sheminahemet kionava omeret. Oy lebanim shebavanotem echarafti et beti v'sarafti et echali v'iglitim levena umot. I actually heard a voice saying that. And Elio said to me, chayecha v'chayei roshcha. It's not only now that you heard this. Lo sh'azo bilvad omerekach. Every single day. Shalosh pa'amim. This is what is announced in Hashemayim. And not only that, but b'shash yisroel nichnas, l'botei knesiot l'botei midrashot. And they end up learning. And then they say Kaddish. Ve'onim yehei shemo agadol mevorach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu menanei haroshot. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu shakes his head, and he says, yeah, it would be very nice to say all of that if I had a house for people to say it in. Ashrei ha'melech shemekalsino to bebeito kach. But what can a father say who had to chase away his own children? Malolav shiglad banav. Oyleim labanim shegalumi al shulchan avihem. So all of this churva relationship is part of the essence of our emuna in the reconstruction of a meaningful world. Tana Rabbana, there's three reasons not to go into a churva. First of all, people may think that you've got a whore in there, and why else are you tippy-toeing down there for? Furthermore, mipnei ha-mapolet is dangerous. It could collapse on you. And mipnei ha-mazikin, bad things, creepy things happen to people who are alone in churvas. Okay, why do we need three reasons? I mean, you said because people will think that there's a whore inside. I mean, what do we need to say such a thing for? Well, you just need to tell me it's dangerous. I mean, we don't have to get nasty, do we? No, what about if it's a new churva that's not going to collapse anytime soon? Okay, so then you don't have to talk about whores. You can talk about mazikim. No, we're talking about over here where there's two people. Wait a minute, if there's two people, nobody's going to think two people are going together to this zana, right? He betrayed, then there's no chshad either. No, it depends what kind of people they are. Betray you pritze. They're the type of people that could be that way, and therefore people will be chayshadan, even though there are two of them. Okay, then you said because it's dangerous. I mean, if you're already going to talk about chshad and mazik, and you don't have to mention the danger, well, what about if there were two people who were kosher people? Then there's no question of the chashad, and there's two people, so there's not going to be any mazikim either. So therefore, the only reason to be worried is because it might collapse on you. Okay, so then why do you have to talk about weird things like demons? I mean, mazikim. It's enough to know that it could collapse, and it also doesn't look very nice. We're talking about over here a new churva, two people who are kosher. But then if it's two people, you said before, there's no mazikim. Well, if it's a place where demons like to hang out, then b'mekoman, we would be chayshesh. Or it could be very simple. We're talking about over here, we're talking about one person. And that's why there's mazik. And we're talking about a brand new churva, and that's why it's not going to collapse. But it would be talking about a case where it's out in the boondocks. And out in the boondocks, it's very hard to hire a whore. So also, Mishum Shadlekada, Isha Bedabra Lo Shchicha, you don't usually find a woman out there. But Mishum Mazik and Ika, you definitely find demons. Tana Rabbana. Arba Mishmarot, Havi Alayla Divei Rebbe. So far, we've been talking about the sheet of Shalosh Mishmaris. But there are really, according to Rebbe, four, and according to Rebbe Nosson, Shalosh. Where do we see this? My time is Rebbe Nosson, Dechtiv. It says by Gidon, Vayavo Gidon, Omei Isha, Shirito Bikse, Amachana, Rosh HaShmora HaTichona. If there is a middle watch, then obviously there's one before and one after. That means three. And Rebbe, how's he going to get away with this? Rebbe says, when it says the middle, it means one of the middles. It says, Rebbe Nosson, come on, man. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say tichona shebetichona. It says the middle. So what would put Rebbe into a position of saying such a weird thing? It's because Kosev Echad says, David HaMelech says, I get up at Chatzot. Chatzot laila kum ladot l'chol mishpatei tzidkecha. Whereas Ketuv Echad omer, kodmuenai ashmorot, I get up to ashmorot before the dawn. So how does that make sense if it's at Chatzot? The only way is that there's still two ashmorot left after Chatzot. Okay, so arba mishmorot avi laila. And Rabbi Natan, how does he explain it? Rabbi Natan says, look, I paskin like Rabbi Yoshua, where it says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ad Shalosh Shaot, Shekein Derech Melachim Lamod B'Shalosh Shaot, you read Kriyat Shema in the morning until Shalosh Shaot. So that shows that royalty gets up at Shalosh Shaot. So if David HaMelech got up in the middle of the night exactly at Chatzot, he was actually 6 hours left, because he would have Shit Delilah, and then he would have the 2 hours in the day where he got up before other royalty, and that's 8 hours, and 8 hours are Shteya Mishmarot, according to me, and that's what he meant, Ashmorot. Rav Ashi Amar, what's the problem? 1.5 Mishmarot, you could call Ashmorot, right? So Mishmarot Paganami Mishmarot, that's no problem. Furthermore, Amar Rav Zirik, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, Ein Omri Bifnei Amet, El Advarav Shel Meit. If you're going to talk about something in the presence of a dead person, it would have to be things that have to do with him. Some learned means divrei Torah that he himself said. Omre babar bakan alarba divrei Torah. Avo b'mila de'alma letlanba. A mate couldn't care less and has no jealousy over your ability to talk about the baseball scores. V'ike de'amra omre babar bakan alo amra la filu b'divrei Torah. Ko shekein mila de'alma. Now, wait, getting back to David HaMelech. David HaMelech would get up at midnight. I thought he was up the whole night. I would get up right in the evening. How do you know Neshef means evening, by the way? It says Beferish. So you see, Neshef is Be'erev Yom. So how do you explain the fact that he says he gets up at midnight? I may have slept sometimes till Chatzot, but never longer than that. Rabbi Zera says, no. It means that until Chatzot, he didn't really sleep, but he was mitnamnem kesus, you know, dozing every once in a while, but mikan ve'elech hoyim esgar b'kari at chatzos. Rav Ashi Amar, it doesn't mean I woke up at chatzot, it means I woke up from what I was doing. At chatzot alayla hoya osir g'divrei Torah, mikan ve'elech b'shirot v'tishpachot. Now, you said Neshef means the evening, but a Neshef tzafra, Neshef must mean morning, because it says, v'yakem David mi'a Neshef v'ada erev l'mochrotat. Apparently that means from the morning until the night. No. It means from one evening until the next evening. I said, come on, then either call the evening Neshef Ad Neshef, or call the evening Erev Ad Erev. Therefore, it says, Rava, the word Neshef simply means to pop away. Remember we had in Chulin, Bukad Atma, the Shaf Miduchte. It was pulled out of its place. So that you can use the word Neshef, Trei Nishbeyav. You have Noshef Laila, the night pops away and comes the day. Or you can have Neshef Yomama Va'ati Laila. So, Enochinami, it uses Neshef here to mean the morning, but that's not a steer to when it says I woke up in the evening. But how did David know when Chatzot was? Moshe Rabbeinu himself, lo have yada, because when he told Paro, he said, Kichatzot Laila, ani yotze betok Mitzrayim, approximately. So what's Kichatzot? I mean, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him about Chatzot, he told him Chatzot. Because Mi'ikas Veka Kami Shomaya, must be that Moshe Rabbeinu was told b'chatzot, but he himself didn't know, so therefore he couldn't say something he didn't know, so he said k'chatzot. So how could David have yoda? David simon have yoda. David had simon, again, simon. Simon means a way in which I become aware of something. What was his simon? It was his beautiful harp that would play itself. The moment that it was the instant of Chatzot, a wind would come out of the Tzafon and blow on the strings and it would start playing. So David HaMelech would wake up to that music, to his Shirim V'Tushbachot, in which the world sang for him. Here's not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens, he plays the harp. And miyad hayom edavez v'torat shalom u'dashachar, kimen shalom u'dashachar, nichtesu chachmi Yisrael etzlo, and they started the day. And we'll talk about the schedule of the day tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.